This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by StrengthCoach.com. Well, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 130. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and first off with me is Jonathan Fast of AcceleratedStrength.com. And the sometimes updated JonathanFast.blogspot.com. What's up, John?
I graduated.
Yeah, Lee Peel from AvidityFitness.com.
This is my last episode ever.
but we have to introduce Lee, John.
That's true.
You know, we'll congratulate you in a second, all right? Let's just get Lee on board.
All right. Hi, Lee.
Lee Peel from AvidityFitness.net.
Congratulations.
FLZine.com.
Thank you.
I'm really proud of you.
Thanks.
Yeah, way to go, John.
Thanks.
Did you get, like, a graduation gift, like a lottery ticket from your grandmother?
My parents are taking me on a cruise, like a family cruise.
Sweet.
That's
nice. Yeah. And then I don't know if you guys saw my Facebook update, but I actually got accepted into the residency program in physical therapy at University of Delaware. So I will be going on a cruise and then running and moving down to Delaware.
Awesome, dude.
That, yeah.
Congratulations. That's really awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, but was actually the bigger stuff. Like graduating, like finishing my clinical, I was like, oh, that's cool. But the getting that was like, oh my god, that was nuts.
That was the one that we talked about that you interviewed for.
Yeah,
that's like hardcore, right?
Yeah.
You are the man.
Yeah, they accept 2 residents per year, 1 every 6 months.
Wow, who's so. The man?
Yeah, I'm you, the man.
Did you put the but you posted about being like a finalist for the Biggest Loser trainer thing too? Was that a joke? Oh, that was an April Fool's joke?
That was an April Fool's joke.
Oh shit, I thought that was real. Holy crap, you totally got me on that.
You just found out now.
I'm like, oh my god, actually, you know what I was thinking? Because I just heard something on the radio the other day about that, about people, it was some fitness person that was like on the radio, and one of their credentials was like being a finalist for the Biggest Loser trainer selection thing. And I'm like, holy crap, there's no way John's going to do this.
For the listeners, on April 1st, I wrote that I was invited to audition for the finals of the Biggest Loser as a trainer. And I get a whole bunch of people be like, oh, that's great.
God, you got like 24 comments on that.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. I didn't see it.
Oh, my God. And no. Then you got Kevin smack in the middle. Oh, hell yeah, do it.
And I'm like, oh, crap, this is going to be so great. John is going to be, you know, like making a difference.
Yeah. But, and then it was all a lie, Kevin.
Oh, that's okay.
And you know what was hysterical is there was like 3 or 4 people that were like, oh, really? On April 1st you were asked to do this? And I was like, oh, that's it. Now they blew up my spot. Now no one's going to comment anymore. Then the next comment would be like, congratulations.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you, John. The next thing that a couple things we want to talk about. Before we have a gigantic mailbag coming up in this week's show, and hopefully many people caught on to last week's episode 129, where Lee and I talked about the Destination Abs project. Lee, I think it went very well.
It did.
People seemed to enjoy it very much. And we had a contest that we're going to talk about at the end of the FitCast news, but first, the thing I want to mention is that there is something I kind of want to make a small announcement about on the show. I'm not going to talk about it too much, but I don't want people to freak out about this. And this isn't an April Fool's joke. This is kind of a real thing. Starting, actually, by the time you listen to this, it'll probably already be up. But a listener of the show, Seth Gibson, and I are putting together a little kind of a passion project just to you know, talk about games on the side. It's going to be very little real work involved. We're just going to kind of talk, do kind of a podcast with myself, him. He works at Bungie that makes some the Halo games, and also he has some friends that are in the video game industry. So what we're calling it is it's at parttimegamers.com. And really, it's just when we have time and we want to talk about something. There is no set schedule. It's just when we have the time to do it. The FitCast is always going to be my number one priority. It's still nothing at the FitCast is going to change whatsoever. We just wanted to kind of, you know, have an outlet for this. So we're going to do that on. Hopefully, it should be coming out every Sunday, and we're just gonna kind of talk on Skype, and you know, if there's something that we want to write about, we'll write about it on the site. It's going to be very simple, and it's going to be cool because it's I think one of the very best parts for people that do like video games is that you're going to get the kind of the viewpoint of the developers themselves, the people that make games. Like another one of the people that we have involved works at Double Fine. I mean, where Tim Schafer makes a game, like they're making a game called Brutal Legend with Jack Black in it, and they've also made some games of the past that have become, you know, haven't been very popular in terms of the mass market, but have been pretty big, hardcore success kind of thing. So I just wanted to, you know, take a second announcing that, and if people want to check that out, again, it's at parttimegamers.com. And hopefully we'll have something for you to listen to on that. And with that, if anyone has any experience with making logos, we could use your help because we need a logo for the podcast, and I'll find a way of compensating you for your help with that. Also, I want to thank people that helped out with the logo for the black t-shirts for the FitCast. We had a couple people who have helped me put together something that we can use. And now I'm just asking if people have... what's the best way of getting screen printing done? If anyone has suggestions, like I've looked at Cafe Press, and I really hate how it's set up there because they can't. Right now, I just have the picture with a black background, and if I put that picture on a black T-shirt, there's still an outline of a box, so I don't know how that's gonna look. So if anyone knows of like online screen printing that we can just get like 50 or 100 of these done. Let me know, just kevin@thefitcast.com. Next thing I want to talk about is that I've been kind of mentioning about a transformation kind of contest or a blog thing at thefitcast.com. And what that would be, and I was talking with Lee and John about this a little bit before the show, but basically the listeners, you guys out there, would have the opportunity of having some of your own accountability. Lee and I talked a lot about that and talking about like social support in terms of, you know, body transformations. And I think it would be a good idea. And it seemed like people through Twitter, through Facebook, thought that it would be they would be interested in participating in that. And we would put together a couple prizes, and we'd probably make it like a 12-week kind of thing, just to give people enough time to make an actual transformation. And the details that it would entail is probably like a weekly update of pictures and probably a paragraph where you could pretty much write whatever you want with your experience of what you're going through. You can write about your training. It's really up to you. One of the questions that we did get through Facebook and Twitter, and we can talk about this, Lee and John, but people wanted us to provide programs, which we're not going to do. I mean, I think there's, if you want to get training and nutrition programs, I think obviously Lee's Fat Loss Troubleshoot is a great place to start. It's obviously worked very well for myself. So I think that's something you can look at in terms of handling nutrition. And there's definitely, like, if you go to the flzine.com or the FitCast forums, like, you can make suggestions in terms of programming and things like that. But I think people for the most part, know how to program for fat loss, and even for hypertrophy to an extent. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, it'd get into a much bigger thing. Like, if we just started providing a program for people to follow.
Yeah, it gets difficult with that, and there are so many of those kind of cookie cutter programs out there that it starts becoming like, you know, it's almost,
we'd have to keep making changes for everyone, you know.
Yeah,
it'd be tough because not everyone has all the equipment, not everyone can people might not have pull-up bars, things like that, but mm-hmm. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the future. Maybe we'll have something a little bit more concrete. But if you do have any interest in that, just shoot us an email, questions@thefitcast.com, or just post something in the comments section of episode 123. Last but not least, Lee, you talked about a contest in episode 129 where you wanted to, you know, get people's stories, and you were going to give away some free stuff. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'll make it pretty quick, but basically I kind of said, and I didn't plan it or anything. I just said, hey, you know, put up a story of your transformation, and I will give you a free book, you know, if it's like inspiring. I didn't expect as many people to respond, and I even got some like personal emails. Everyone that responded on Kevin's forum or his blog post is, I put your name in like a little, I got them all right here, and I'm just going to draw real quick, and I've got three that I'm going to choose, and so I'm going to do three instead of one because I didn't quite expect there to be so many. So all right, so the first person to win is Kyle. So, Kyle, congratulations to you. And anyone, just send either me an email at trainer@avidityfitness.net, or you can contact Kevin through his. I just need your email. Once I get your email, I can send you the books. So, all right, so Kyle. Then the next one is Amanda. And the final winner of the Fat Loss Troubleshoot Package is... God, of course, it's a name I can't say. A-L-I-N-E. So, congratulations. That's
nice.
1, 2, 3. You get the free.
Amazing stories,
yeah.
Too. There was actually
they're really amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, some people have already made some really good transformations themselves. And, you know, a lot of people are... It was three or four people that were just looking to finally just get those last 15 pounds or 20 pounds or so, and that seems to be the hardest part. And very cool. Thanks, everyone, for submitting your stories in the comments section on the FitCast. And if you haven't checked those out, for the rest of the listeners, if you go to the episode 129, the show notes, you can see all those stories in there. I think it's a good time to take a quick break. We'll be right back with a ginormous mailbag.
Mm.
Huge.
It's big.
That's what you said.
I almost said it.
I was waiting for that.
We'll be right back.
I set you up.
Yeah, I know.
I was waiting for it. Yeah.
If you want to boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat, head over to turbulencetraining.com and also check out ttmembers.com, a monthly Turbulence Training website where you can get a new program every single month. Welcome to the mailbag. The first question we have is for Lee from Mia. I don't know if you remember me, but I met you once in Winston back in 2006. You helped me with my leg and gave me a program for fat loss. Well, I did what you said, lost the weight, my leg was better, and things were going good. Since then, I moved overseas, and I put a lot of the weight back on. My leg is hurting again behind the knee now. This may be a hard question, but why do we backslide, and how do I get back on track? Also, the food here in Denmark is a lot different and not helping. Any advice, and thank you so much from before. I think you are so funny and sweet in person. If there is time for one more question, do you guys have any online supplement site that ship to this area? Mia.
Okay. Well, as far as why you would backslide or how to get back on track. I mean, obviously you moved, you changed your settings, therefore you probably changed your lifestyle and the environment that you live in. Habits change, things like that. So anything that you kind of adapted to in, you know, America kind of, you know, went out the window maybe when you left to Denmark. People forget a lot that the things that we do in our daily lives really do affect our body composition and just the way that we feel and the way that we look and the way that we eat, etc. So I don't know what's happening in your new environment. I don't know if you're sitting all day, whereas where you were moving all day, or, you know, what exactly, you know, maybe you walked to work before and now you, you know, you drive. I don't know. I don't know exactly what's going on, but look for something. You know, look for something that caused a little bit of a change in your actual activity patterns, because that's probably going to be your first thing. And then the second thing, as far as like the food goes, I don't really know what it's like in Denmark, but I can say that in pretty much any country, you have the availability of fruits and vegetables and meats. So worst comes to worst, just cut out any sort of processed thing. If you're having a hard time adjusting your palate, maybe just dive in. You're just going to have to dive in and kind of, you know, I know a lot of people move to different countries. They kind of still go for the Americanized way of eating that could be in their major cities, especially. They have certain things that can transfer over. Like people that I know that go to Asia, they, you know, gravitate towards the McDonald's and stuff like that they have there in the bigger cities. Don't do that. You know, really try and engross yourself in the actual culture and the food and the things that they have there. Get your palate used to it. Try not to go for the safe processed things that you feel more comfortable with, and really dive into that culture and, you know, really see what you have going on. I don't know how long you're going to be there, but experience it the best way you can. As far as a supplement site, I know that there's a lot of sites that I use that ship to overseas, but I got to be honest, I'm not sure about like the costs. And I know like a lot of my clients that I have overseas, it just really varies for them. So your best bet is just to really get on Google and just see what you can find. I don't personally have a recommendation for that. So unless you guys do, I don't really know anything.
If you go to the Amazon that's specific to your area, they tend to actually usually have pretty decent products for protein, and I know some people overseas use Amazon, like Amazon UK. So I don't know if Denmark has something, has like an Amazon affiliate or a section of Amazon for Denmark, but I would definitely give that a shot. And they usually are pretty nice about how they ship it, because they're practically like the Walmart of the internet, so they can usually get pretty good deals. The next question we have comes from Sal. Hey guys, I have a question about fish oil. You guys seem to always say that fish oil is one supplement that is good to add. However, in terms of dosage, I find the info out there to be very vague. I often hear 3 to 6 grams per day, but does that refer to the grams of fat or the grams of EPA and DHA? Most fish oils are like 2 grams per serving, but only around 600 milligrams of EPA and DHA, with the rest being only poly, mono, unsaturated fats. So when people say 3 to 6 grams of fish oil a day, does that refer to the grams of EPA and DHA, or total grams of fat in the pill? Also, is 3 to 6 grams a day about right? Finally, some fish oils, like Biotest Flame Out, have a much higher amount of DHA than EPA, but most are higher in EPA. Does it matter? What is the difference and advantages of each? Thanks. Keep up the good work. Sal. So, John, let's talk a little bit about fish oil. But I do want to quickly give Cassandra Forsyth, she emailed a response to Sal's question. I'm going to pretend that I'm Cassandra Forsyth for a second. Unfortunately, she's mountain biking right now. But in my best Cass impression, 36 grams is total dosage to get the 2 to 3 grams of EPA plus DHA per day. And yes, this is good. DHA and EPA are different and have different biological effects. However, the verdict is still out to determine whether one is actually more important than the others. It seems that for infant health and mental status, DHA is more important. For heart health, a combo of the two is in equal portions is best. For cancer, not sure yet. The difference is the way these fatty acids are converted to other biological compounds. But like I said, the verdict is still out. Much more research is needed. For a good quality, if you get fish burps, it's not a good one. One of the best is Minimi Nutrition brand. It's cold filtered, thus prevents rancidity of the fats. See y'all soon from Badass Cass. I guess that's how she signs her emails now.
Yeah, that was interesting because your impersonation of her sounds exactly like
you. Was it? I was trying. Yeah. I just didn't know if the tone was right.
No, it sounded pretty much exactly like you. It's like, yeah. It's like, hi, I'm Kevin Larrabee, and this is my impersonation of Cassandra. Hi,
there's
I'm
a good
Cassandra.
Episode of Scrubs this week where there's – I won't get into that. But I don't know if he was asking for any kind of – I mean, we talked about different qualities of fish oil on the show before. But you guys have anything you wanted to add to what Cass had to say?
Nope. Well, you know, whenever you're taught the question I kind of got for him is he was just kind of asking about the combined issues. Mm-hmm. There's lots of research that shows different combined levels do different things. So it kind of depends on why you're taking it, how high you want to go. My kind of standard recommendation is somewhere in between 6 to 10 capsules a day of like grams, which mm-hmm. can lead to a combined of upwards to 2 to 3 EPA, DHA combined. Mm-hmm. Anything above that is just kind of, I mean, it's not really necessary. DHA levels, they saturate at around 2 to 2.6, I think, grams of intake a day. Anything above that is not really needed. And EPA converts to DHA, DHA converts to EPA, although EPA converts to DHA easier than the reverse. So it's actually, as far as like, you know, like bio tests, like in flame out, why the higher amount, I believe that they say that it's because of...
it's going to help you get bigger muscles.
It's for male hormones and stuff like that. I've never seen anything. But I think that's why. In my opinion, if you're going to have a conversion rate, I think it actually would make sense to do the reverse and have a little bit higher EPA to DHA mm-hmm. if you were going to care about something like that. But it converts in the body. Saturation levels hit at a you know a certain point, and so I you know I like a standard kind of. I'm more of a 6 to 10. I don't think anything above that is necessarily you know needed, and it also depends on the potent level of your fish oil. Certain fish oils have different potency levels. So yeah, I think that about covers everything.
I get a question really... for you, Lee. It seems I either get you know it's either one or the other, but a lot of people, when it comes to talking about nutrition, some people say not to count the calories that they're getting from fish oil, and some people say two. What side of the line do you fall on?
Fence of my own.
Yeah,
it's fat and a pill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fat and a pill. Like, count it. If you're taking a massive amount. Like, here's the thing. Like, it depends, right? Like, if you're moving all day and you're doing, like, do you need to count your fish oil pills? No. But if you're stagnated, you're in an office, you're on a very strict, like, diet regimen, like, you know, everything counts, and you're popping 10 grams of fish oil, well, that's, I mean, it's 100 calories.
Yeah.
Does that, I mean, you know, does it matter, like, in either direction? It can be even higher depending on the, because some fish oil concentrations, like, for example, two capsules of one that I take is actually, it's like 25 calories if you're popping like 10 of those. I mean, you know, it can add up. And it's just, it's the matter of all these people that just what can add up, like the nibbles here, the fish oil there, the this, that, and the other. And they're like, oh, I'm stuck. So if you're stuck and it's an issue, then yeah, I mean, realize that you're taking calories in a pill.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not and it's not an issue, then don't worry about it and don't obsess over the little things. So it's a matter of like what your results are and what you have happening. But yeah, I mean, people don't get it. It's just fat in a pill.
Yeah.
And it's all it is. You know, it's no different than, it's not olive oil, but I mean, you could put olive oil in a pill and you're taking like fat in a pill. I mean, it's the exact same thing. So, you know, it's just fat in a pill.
Nick wants to ask a question about creatine. It says, hey, Kevin, love the show. For the past 2 months, I've added creatine for the first time, and I've seen great results. However, my creatine monohydrate powder does not dissolve when I add it to water. It all goes down to the bottom of the cup, and I have to stir a lot and drink right away and keep adding water to get it off the bottom. I don't mind since it works, But does that mean that the particular brand I'm using is low quality? I add it to shakes too, but again, I'm worried that I'm using a crap brand. I know that you guys always give a shout out to your sponsors, but since there are so many different brands of supplements out there, could you guys recommend a good and trusted brand of the main supplements? Creatine, fish oil, we've already talked about that before. I don't know what he's meant by that. Protein powder, I guess, and greens. Thanks. Keep up the good work, Nick. We talked about creatine in the past. Just, you know, creatine monohydrate. To be honest, I usually just put a little bit of water in my mouth. I put a scoop of creatine in my mouth, and then I swallow it. I don't know. I might be in the minority if I'm not going to put it in a shake. But it's not weirdly.
I didn't say it was weird. I was going to say that's hardcore.
No, yeah.
It's like that guy that, like, you know, spoons the coffee and you know, the
I don't need
instant
the water.
Coffee, and then he drinks the water and
But the in terms of Greens products, I don't know, Greens Plus. Lee, are you a fan of Vitamin Shoppe's Greens products?
Yeah, they're fine. I personally, like, I think I said it before, I use something called Amazing Grass Superfood because it just tastes good. So
it's a good reason. I like that.
Yeah.
And also, it's just creatine. You know, if you have to, throw some extra water in it. If it's just floating on the bottom, maybe you're not using enough water, or, you know, some people like to mix it with Crystal Light. That's not. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad quality if it's just clumping together, right? It's just not the, there's some brands that have
if it's really an issue for you, you can get the micronized ones.
Thank you.
Yes. And that dissolves a little bit better, but that, I mean, you know, it's not really made. I know some people that put it in, mix it in with their orange juice, and that seems to be one because it's a little bit more acidity, so it, you know, shake it up, it dissolves like a little bit better, and no, it doesn't destroy the properties of it, because I've heard that. But so if you're having a real problem, get the micronized, put it in some orange juice, shake it up, there you go. I mean, or, you know, whatever.
And in terms of protein powders, I know trueprotein.com is a pretty good source in terms of getting protein. I like the taste of Biotest stuff. You know, it's you know, they up the price again, so it's actually pretty expensive. But I think their strawberry and banana stuff tastes pretty good. Lee and John, what do you usually? I know, John, you don't use too much protein powder, do you?
No, I do, but I mean, I honestly get the big old 2-pound container of it from Costco from.
Yes, or something like that.
Yeah, yes, and that's always a pretty good product. I mean, that seems to work well enough.
Lee, what do you recommend?
I like a mix of I use Optimum Nutrition. I've always just liked the way that it tastes. I know a lot of people hate it, but I just like it.
And so good.
I mix the chocolate casein with the chocolate whey, and that's about it.
Nice.
So it's very, very simple.
I think that is a good sign to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with a question for John about ART. So stick around.
Mm.
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 Mm. That's my nodding in agreement.
If you want to get the best tasting, highest quality protein powder out there, you got to go to blackstarlabs.com. Now with new discounted prices, so you can save more than ever. Next question that we have is for Mr. Fass. Hey guys, first off, I'd just like to thank you for your advice you gave to me a few weeks back in regards to my dad's hip surgery. We managed to get him to lose a few pounds and get a bit stronger before the surgery, and his recovery is going better than anyone expected. So thank you. That's very cool to hear, Troy.
Yeah, cool.
On to my question. I've been dealing with a sore shoulder for a few months now. I've been working a lot of scapular stability stopped doing all pressing motions and started getting ART done 2 to 3 times. 2 to 3 times a week for about 6 weeks with no improvement. The ART practitioner recommended that I get an ultrasound, which ended up showing no torn tendons, but did show calcification on my supraspinatus. The ART practitioner has recommended, extra corporeal shockwave therapy to improve the blood flow in the area and get rid of the calcification. So far, I've only done one session, but I wanted to get your guys' opinion before I continue, as it's quite expensive. Thanks for the advice, Troy. Sorry, I just lost my place. Can we talk about calcification, Joan?
Sure, we can. First,
Let's talk about what calcification is for people that don't know, in terms of.
Well, calcification of like a tendon sheath, that's actually something that's part of all tendons. You'll have very microscopic calcium deposits, but what can happen is when we have greater ruptures or tears in a tendon or a tendomuscular junction, the body may, because of whatever reason, and there, I don't believe that they really know the reason for it. There may be some theories out there, but to my knowledge, that there's no actual definitive cause for calcification, but the body will begin to lay down bone through calcium deposit, and obviously this can be painful. What's interesting though is that that's not always, it's kind of like a disc herniation, whereas not every disc herniation will cause pain and not everyone with disc herniation will feel pain. The same thing can happen with calcium deposits. So you may find calcium deposits and it may be an area that's painful and you're not 100% sure that that's actually what's causing pain. So it can be a good indicator that this is the cause of this, but maybe it's like, what caused the pain? Was it the calcium deposit or was it actually the faulty mechanics and the tearing that led up to the calcium deposits, and now the calcium deposit is just something that you see. So it is something for your, medical professional and your physician to kind of look over and try to decide whether or not that's actually the cause. So interesting little side note about that. As far as the ART being done, it does sound like your ART practitioner is being responsible. If you're getting ART done and you're not seeing more or less immediate results, not necessarily meaning that it's cured in 2 to 3 visits, but if you're not seeing at least a 50% reduction in your symptoms within the first 1 or 2 visits, chances are that's either not being applied correctly, not what's required to make things better, or there just needs to be more things done. So I try to tell people a lot, ART is not like a magical elixir, but when it's done properly, you see very quick results and very good results very quickly. So after 2 to 3 times a week for 6 weeks with no improvement, there's something definitely missing. So it was good that you guys followed that up with some testing to see if maybe there was something else going on. As far as extracorporeal shockwave therapy, that's kind of a new thing. And there has been some light but fairly interesting evidence to suggest plantar fasciitis it's a good form of treatment for plantar fasciitis and also for tennis elbow. So what it is it's just sound waves. It's high energy sound waves that it's kind of like an ultrasound, I guess, in a way. Now, I don't have any experience with it personally. I've never used it, and I really only know about it from a few things that I've read. So what I'm going to suggest is, if you've seen Troy said that he's had it done once already. If he sees that there's been some benefit to it, then I would say, okay, continue. But otherwise, there's not a whole lot of research being done as far as calcification and tendons, and the research that is there, it's kind of back and forth. Some say that there is good results, some say that there's no results. So I think, unfortunately, with this, it's not going to be covered by insurance, and it is something that if you are interested in pursuing further, you've got to kind of play it by ear and see if it's helping you out at all or not.
You have a dog barking in the background too, John?
No, it's barking in Manhattan and I have the window open.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Now the window is closed.
The next question that we're going to go to comes from Will. Hey guys, male, 5'9", 190 pounds, 21% body fat. I was reading in a recent Muscle and Fitness about Tabata training, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds rest, rinse and repeat. I was wondering what everyone thought about the programming in general, but also its benefits to the relative novice. I've been lifting on and off for 4 years and finally have the time to get back into it full force. Thanks for keeping up the great work, Will. Lee, do you ever prescribe Tabata training or Tabata training? People say it different ways.
And you're just going to find that this is kind of my general opinion. When it comes to, I don't know what he's using it for. I mean, if he's using it for fat loss, because I don't ever see people say use this for anything other than fat loss, really. Like the general person that brings it up, they're like, oh, for fat loss. Mm-hmm. So I'm not huge on it for fat loss.
Mike Boyle actually uses it with a lot of his athletes in terms
like
of
conditioning. Yes, conditioning. Fat loss, not a fan.
Not so much. And
it's only because and it's not for everybody. Like some people can, I kind of just go by the guide of, can the majority of people do this successfully in a fat loss stage? Yes or no? And to me, I think no. So I think that people can do it,
I think that
they can do it successfully, and not a problem. But it's not my prime recommendation. I don't think it's necessarily bad. I think that it can have good and you know, positive. But I just like this kind of like more, because it's aggressive. You know, this is like aggressive conditioning. And I just see people jump into stuff like this. It's like, oh, I've been on the couch for 3 years. I'm going to start doing this. And I just think it's a really bad idea. And I think that you need to build up to this kind of thing, and that you need to, it's a progressive step, in my opinion, to get to something like this kind of protocol. If you've taken all the progressive steps and you need to lose fat and you have the conditioning to do something like this, then yes, go ahead, go for it. But I don't find that that's the case most of the time. So I think that it's really one of those things where you're going to have to decide. But it's not like it's bad. It's just another way of burning calories and another way of conditioning in that kind of an area. So
it's interesting that you brought up the idea of someone just being on the couch for the last 10 years and then wanting to jump into a fat loss program. I think that's an interesting kind of idea to bring up, because obviously when people start jumping into something like a fat loss program, or you know, it could be a skinny dude wanting to put on muscle, like an ectomorph who's just like decided he wants to just start getting huge, the people always want to go from 0 to 100 in day one. And it's tough trying to it's tough sometimes to convince people and rationalizing, we're not going to be able to go into this first session. And, you know, if I kick the crap out of you, you're going to feel like someone threw you down the stairs last night. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to wake up in the morning. Like, we could do that and have you miss the next 5 days of training and not be able to come into the gym. Or, we just got to, make it, think of it as like a sandcastle. Okay? I'm going to drop a metaphor bomb on you guys. A sandcastle that you're going to build up. You can't build it up all at once, otherwise the sandcastle's going to fall. Actually, that sucks.
I don't know. I was seeing the little towering.
No.
Not really, but...
You know, you got to build... Okay, the way I usually rationalize it is like, we're going to tear you down. We're going to think of you as a house. We're going to tear you down. We're going to start at the foundation. We're just going to build a brand new house. And, starting out building a brand new house, there's a lot of things you got to consider. You got to consider the plumbing, the electric work. You got to look at, some nice windows, some carpeting, things like that. And, once we get all of those together, we get a nice strong foundation. Then we can start going nuts. We can start doing some really cool stuff. Like maybe we will put in a bowling alley. We'll put in like a nice little sports bar. Something like that, we'll do some fun stuff too. But we gotta get this stuff out of the way so we can have.
Oh my god, I'm emailing Mike Bull and I'm saying that you're comparing that training process to a bowling alley in a house.
A bowling alley.
You know what?
Fail.
As long as he That's fine. That's fine.
No, I get it. No, I get it. And I think that you're right. I guess, you know, my issue is, you know, he's like, oh, I've been on and off for 4 years and I'm jumping back in full force. And, you know, I don't see many people that perform jump squats well. Like, I don't see
ever.
It.
Ever.
I don't, you know, and you're going to do, and if you're going to do something like that and you're going to do it in a caloric deficit and you're, you know, there's just so many bad things piled on top of something like that. So it's like, I don't think it's like a bad protocol. I just don't think that it's for everybody. And I certainly don't think it's for most of the people that jump in and try and do it. That's all. It's kind of like CrossFit, you know, it's kind of like all that kind of stuff. Like it's that same thing. I don't think it's bad. But I don't think that it's for most of the people that do it.
Yeah,
and I think that people do it wrong.
Yeah, and the thing that I brought up a couple weeks ago, the guy that I saw doing CrossFit just picked up his out of shape friend and brought him along to do CrossFit. Like, that's really horrible. Like, that's not the way to get your friend into fitness. And all I got to say, well, don't bring the magazine with you when you go to lift. Just don't do it, please.
Yeah, Muscle and Fitness sucks. Don't be reading that. God,
you
gotta
start someplace, man. You gotta start that education someplace.
Yeah, we'll start with some people that are educated. Muscle and Fitness sucks.
All right,
hate that crap.
They wouldn't give you a job, would they, John?
No, you know what Muscle and Fitness leads to, Kevin? It leads to triceps, biceps, and lat days. That's what that leads to.
Are you poking fun at me, John?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Fucker. All right, the next question that we have. Oh, speaking of curls, sorry, I don't have a name that's associated with this. I apologize. But hi, I'm a new listener and love the show. I've heard you guys mention many times that technique is important. Also, that heavier weight and less reps builds better muscle. In my bicep workout with straight bar curls, I lose form at reps 8 to 10 in the third and fourth sets, first set being a warm-up. Should I go up in weight and settle for sets of six or eight good reps plus two bad reps with lower weight? A better way to build muscle. They didn't really put the question together well. But let's talk about curls, John, since you brought it up.
I'll ignore the fact that it's a question about curls for a second. Welcome to the show.
Let's talk about fatigue and training and picking the right weight for the amount of reps and sets.
Generally speaking, it's kind of like an age old argument here. What's more important? Is it the total volume that you're doing or is it the intensity and the weight that you're using? Generally speaking, it's based on your goals. So if I'm looking to produce some muscle, it might be kind of equally important. Like, I may want to maintain the volume that I've got. For the most part, I usually recommend to keep the weight, and if you need to lower the reps by one or two, it's really not going to have any difference in the training status, but it may have a difference in ultimately the type of strength improvements that you make. Although, again, it's such a minor detail that either way probably isn't necessarily wrong. But that proper form should be maintained. So if you're finding that you're doing the old squat rack biceps curl to back extension exercise that's so popular in gyms by like high school kids, don't do that. That's not good for you. You're not trying to force reps like that, and you're not going to get anywhere very quickly with that. So make sure that the form is proper no matter what you're doing. And if you do feel the need to lower the weight to finish off your reps, almost like a drop set kind of thing, you can do that too. I honestly don't think that it makes too much of a difference either way.
So,
but pick one way and stick with that. And that's usually what I say.
What about in terms of training to failure for every set?
Oh, no, that's crazy.
Okay. Just clarifying.
Yeah, that's crazy. In fact, the research that has been done to failure training, pretty much unequivocally shows that training to a failure set and doing that often will actually decrease your results. Doesn't mean to not push yourself hard, but it means that when you're at failure, your form is screwing up all over the place and you're pushing through rep, all that's doing is you're basically, the muscles aren't working anymore. You're using different muscles. That's causing you to start to engage different motor patterns. And what that does is ultimately starts to damage the motor patterns that you have set for good form. So eventually you start using bad choices, which means you're actually not using the muscles the way that you're intending to.
Gotcha.
The positioning.
All right, we're gonna head to the another question from, and the reason why I don't have a name for him is he didn't submit a name in the comments thing, but I have his email address, and I'm not gonna give that out because that would be mean. Spammers. The next question is Chris from Texas. This is a question for the FitCast crew. We're probably going to shoot this to John for the most part. My dad has suffered a herniated disc between his C5 and C6 vertebrae and a pinched nerve between his L4 and L5. I have told him that he needs to stabilize his lumbar spine and that it is hypermobile. He has not exercised vigorously in probably 10 years. I told him to start very slowly with planks and side planks, and he complains that they hurt. My question is, what core strengthening exercises can be performed pain-free that might help him stabilize his lumbar spine? In addition, are there any other exercises that might help my father's condition at all, or is he at a point where he is not safe to do strengthening exercises? I appreciate all the help. So let's talk a little bit about core stabilization, John.
Mm-hmm. My first piece of advice is to go see a physical therapist or someone that's qualified to really check out your father's form and make sure that not only the exercises he's doing is done correctly, but that the exercises themselves. The idea of core stabilization is that you're positioning your core in such a way that your spine is basically neutral. The curvature of the spine is the natural curvature. It's not over, you know, lordotic or kyphotic, so it's not curved too much, it's not straightened out, but it's the natural positioning. The problem with core stabilization and core exercise, I could probably pick up at least, you know, I could do a search on core stabilization, find the first 10 pictures, and I could almost guarantee you that all of them are wrong in one way or another, because the problem is that doing an exercise in and of itself is not necessarily going to help you improve the strength within the position that you need to improve it on. So if we take what I would probably say in terms of this listener's father is, if we assume that the lumbar spine is hypermobile, so that he's too curved in the low back, which is most people, that means his abs are already going to be weak just by positioning, and he's already going to have too much of an arch. Now you ask someone with weak abs to hold a plank position, they're going to increase that arch because the abs can't reduce that arch already. They're already weak. So that would cause pain. It's going to basically start pinching off the discus material even further, and that's going to hurt. You're going to get impingement on that nerve, maybe direct mechanical pressure to the nerve or pressure to the disc, which would then hit the nerve. So it's probably not an exercise that he's ready for yet. But if you had him do some other exercises that are less demanding, it still doesn't mean that you're going to actually change the position. All it means is that you may strengthen the abs within the position that he's already got, but that's what we want to take him out of. Okay, if that makes sense. So what you really need to do is work simultaneously at strengthening the abs, but also understanding what a better pelvic and lumbar position is, so that when those abs are strengthened, you're reinforcing good posture rather than poor posture.
Nice.
That's a pretty solid answer, John. Thank you.
I graduated.
I got a great question for Lee. You passed the test, John.
Yeah, I wish the boards were that easy. I would be so happy if the boards were that easy.
You didn't just say, wait, no, dude, I answer questions on the FitCast every week.
I'll petition for licensure based on the quality of product.
Yeah. Gary has a question. I actually have two questions, he says, so I was wrong. I'm an all-natural lifter and have never taken anything crazy. I was wondering what you thought about tribulus or estrogen blockers in general. Are they safe and really, quote, natural or what? I work out 6 days a week while lifting 4 days and doing intervals on my off days. My second question is, have any of you ever done sprint intervals or high-intensity interval training? And how does it burn more fat than regular steady state cardio? Love the show and thanks a lot, Gary. So Lee, let's talk about some supplementation.
Okay. As he's I'm assuming that he is talking about just your standard supplement store, hormone, herbal, that kind of thing. And my short answer on this and they're not getting anything is they don't work. So just leave it at that. No research has shown that anything of that level. I mean, most of them are like some of the estrogen blockers are really hilarious because they just have like some sort of enzyme in them. Like if you look at the ingredients, most of them are just digestive enzymes. It's really funny. But anyway, yeah, they don't do anything. I've never seen them do anything. I mean, do pharmaceutical like estrogen blockers work? Well, yeah, obviously. Do you need it? And I mean, that's a whole other like kind of debate, and then you're getting into steroids, and you're getting into all kinds of stuff like that.
But he won't be able to buy that over the.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just assuming that he's talking about like because he said natural, and so I'm assuming that he's talking about like you know herbal stuff, and it doesn't work. So just put all your focus into stuff that does. I have four base real supplements. I think four, but it's my brain's going. But you know, fish oil, creatine, if you're going to use it, protein powder, and a multivitamin. I mean, for the most part, it doesn't get much more complicated than that. The only things I support in training other than that are things like, you know, adding like D, adding calcium, magnesium, and things like that if you're getting low, if you're having any sort of deficiencies. But I don't think any of that's necessary. For the sprints and intervals, you know, like I said, you've got to weigh what it – the small amount that you're going to get from any sort of like post-exercise – you know, it's so trivial if you're doing higher intervals. And also you have to do them on the right level and you have to do them aggressively enough, which most people don't do in the first place. But if you are going to do them, I mean, there's studies that show a minor, minute, very small difference between sprinting, but you could make that up in a 45-minute walk. So I've never really seen a logical reason to do that to yourself if you don't have to. I use intervals for conditioning versus for fat loss. So that's just my stance on that. But steady state versus intervals, that's your choice. Are you getting results? If you're getting results with the intervals and you like doing them and they keep you in the gym or they keep you outside and they keep you having fun, then go for it. If you're not getting the results, then look at your diet first, obviously. And then you can add on cardio and whatever means that you just get more, you know, caloric expenditure happening, which can be through intervals or it can be through steady state. But I wouldn't do them too often, even if you are going to do them. Back off, because if you're doing true high interval training, it's very, very demanding on your nervous system. And I personally don't believe in doing higher interval training more than once a week on its true level. If you're doing some sort of subset of it, then, I mean, obviously you can do it more often, but if you're hitting at that really breakdown, I don't like doing it more than once a week personally. So therefore I don't really see what the point of doing it for fat loss is.
Well, people,
yeah, I'm sorry, Kevin. I was just going to say also, and I think that, as far as exercise for fat loss goes, it's never as good as exercise and diet with fat loss. And if we look at it in those terms, then the diet really should be leading the charge there, and that the exercise should be supporting what the diet is doing. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, how much do we really need to do an exercise other than, you know, maintaining or potentially improving strength, maintaining or potentially improving muscle, and basically maintaining your, you know, metabolism, your output, whatever. But do we need to go through marathons in order to lose weight if we're already on a diet? We don't. So doing this stuff, it's and that goes back to that other question that we had too before, where it's like, you know, how much do we need to do in order to see an exercise effect? The fact is, if you've got a diet going, probably not a huge amount, and it may be, you know, it may not be a good idea to do a huge amount if you're already on a caloric deficit, depending on the individual. So people kind of see this stuff and they go, you know, well, if running is good, then sprinting is better. And to some extent, I mean, there is truth in that, but too much sprinting isn't necessarily better. It's not too much of a good thing is a great thing. Sometimes, you know, we have to kind of look into the techniques that we're using. So it's not the idea of someone saying, you know what, I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to do it by doing Tabatas on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, HIIT on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then I'm going to run a marathon every other week. I mean, you probably don't need to do that much, and it may actually be making it harder for you to lose weight rather than encouraging weight loss.
Not to you know, just to kind of back up those points, if you just look at the transformation pictures, Lee, how many times did I do intervals?
Yeah, right.
And it was, I mean, walking for an hour kind of sucks, but that's because I, when I'm not training people, I'm usually sitting at the computer or playing some Xbox.
Yeah, and what is our, in my focus in general, and I think all of us are focused in general, is if you're going to focus on a specific training in fat loss, then it needs to be lifting. And yeah. And that to me is, and it's not to say, and I think that people get it all confused because you're like, oh, well, cardio is evil. You're going to burn all your muscle. It's like, no, I'm not saying that. You know, it's just if you're going to do a specific training, the goal in fat loss is, in my opinion, you know, you're going to lose fat, but you also want to preserve your muscle. You don't want to lose it, mm-hmm. you know, and you want to stimulate it. So focus on the lifting. That's priority number one. Then do you need to burn more calories? Are you not moving that much? Do you need more expenditure to meet your goals? Well, then find a way to get that. Mm-hmm. And then the method to do that is the method that most agrees with your body. But I think people, you know, they constantly confuse like, oh, I'm bored and this is boring and oh, I want to switch it up and I want to have fun. And that's all great. But if you're switching up and you're having fun and you're doing, you know, all these protocols and, you know, you're jumping and you're squatting and you're doing all these things really aggressively. And then you go home and you're so burned out that you either can't sleep or you end up binging or, you know, and it leads to this cascade of effects that ends up not working for you. Mm-hmm. I don't see the point. So,
yeah. Yeah, especially, and I see that mistake made with beginners and with fitness professionals all the time, where it's like we're going to take the, you know, the most calorically deficit demanding, you know, diet, and then you're going to be exercising like 20 hours a day, and it's like, yeah. Good luck with that. I mean, it's not going to work.
Well. People, you have about 30 seconds, so why don't you do an interval while we take this quick break.
Michael Boyles, strengthcoach.com, the number one source of performance enhancement information on the internet. Are you looking for cutting-edge information updated almost every day? Do you like info-packed forums with almost real-time answers from industry experts? Then log on to www.strengthcoach.com. For only $1 for 14 days, you can test drive the number one source of performance enhancement information on the internet, strengthcoach.com. Have you logged on today?
The next question we have comes from J-Rod from the North. And J-Rod, you just lost points because anyone with Rod in their name reminds me of A-Rod, and he sucks because he's a juicer and he cheated. And the Yankees suck.
Yeah, because the rest of the league isn't juicing.
No one else did.
Yeah.
Except, okay. Oh, wait, Clemens, another yeah. Yankee.
How ironic that the person that put together the commissioner's report is affiliated with the Red Sox. And
we just hire good people,
like,
John. We just hire good people.
Yeah, and lo and behold, none of the Red Sox
showed
up.
John, can you stay on topic, really?
You know what?
John.
Red Sox suck.
Want to put a bet on that?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
How about $50 to charity?
Okay.
Would you bet? Okay, $50 that the Red Sox will have a better regular season record by the All-Star break. $50.
Okay.
All right, virtual handshake.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it here, people.
Or do we do a face-to-face record? How about a season face-to-face record?
Yeah, but I want to do it halfway through the season because I want my charity to get some money, yo.
Okay. Right. And they won't.
They will. Hey, guys, love the show. When people say that they're on a low-carb diet, they're referring to only starchy carbs, or does that include fruits? Also, what is your theory on how much fruit you should have when you are on a diet to get to single-digit body fat? Thanks, J-Rod from the North. Let's talk about fruit, Lee.
Well, basically, there's different standards and studies, and the actual view of what is a low, high, ketogenic, all those kind of things, diet kind of depends through different fields, but I kind of go in my measure of it, and a lot of people would agree, is that a high carbohydrate diet is 70% intake or above. A moderate is a 50 to 70%. A low is a diet consisting of 30 to 50%. Very low carbohydrate diet is a diet consisting of 15 to 30%, and then a ketogenic diet is a diet that consists of 50% or less of your daily intake being in carbohydrates. And then with keto, it also switches to, you know, fat being a higher, et cetera. But as far as, you know, fruit, so as you can see, a low carbohydrate diet is 30 to 50% intake of carbohydrates. And that is a lot of room. You're eating a lot of stuff in that kind of an amount. You know, so what you're kind of questioning, I think, is what are different diet programs? Different diet programs have different things. Some people say you can't have fruit. Like, you can have as many vegetables as you want in your, you know, quote unquote low carbohydrate diet, but you can't have any fruit or you can't have any starch. And sometimes it's, oh, well, you can only have starch, but around exercising. And it just really depends on the diet. So, an overall kind of calculation, what I just stated is kind of your standard, if you will. But beyond that, you're looking at whoever wrote the diet program and whatever they mean by it. And they should explain it in their book. And if they don't, well, that's even worse. So that's pretty much it.
The last question that we're going to hit on before we wrap it up is from, let's see, we'll pick the last one from Tracy. I was going to start preparing to take the CSCS exam. I've noticed that the NSCA had an updated version of their book, Essentials of Strength and Conditioning. I assume that I can still use the older version, edition 2, to study. They haven't changed that much that I definitely need to get the newer edition, do I? What does the newer edition contain that the old one doesn't? What other recommendations can you give for studying for the exam? I already have a background in exercise and physiology. Thanks, Tracy. So, yes, they do make updates every couple of years to the book. And I just took the exam pretty recently in, I guess it was October. And I used the second edition, and I had no problems whatsoever. One huge recommendation, if you're going to take the exam, take the practice tests. You can get them online, and they're very effective in terms of how they're going to ask you the questions, because many times on the test there'll usually be two answers that are, you know, are technically right, but they want the one that sounds better, and you know what sounds better to them. So it just helps you to get, it's very much like those SAT prep tests, to just get an idea of how they're going to ask you those questions and how, like, what kind of a mindset that you need to be in terms of answering. And I just found, and, you know, some of the questions will probably end up being on the test as well. Do you guys have any other tips for studying for exams?
I definitely agree as far as the sample questions. I mean, that's huge. If
practice tests are cheap too.
Questions. Yeah, they are. And you can probably, I'm sure you could get them used also on eBay or through Amazon or something like that. But those practice exams and the questions that are in the books, those are easily, in my opinion, the best way to study for the exam. I mean, I would still look through the book once, and a degree will be helpful without question versus someone that does mm-hmm. not have a background in exercise. But you'd be surprised. I mean, one of my friends, while we were in grad school, took the CSCS, and he was pretty surprised at the detail of information there, and he definitely had to brush up on certain things and to make sure that he was ready for the test. So it's not easy. It's not the hardest thing you'll ever do, but it's not easy. And make sure that you're, you know, taking it one step at a time. What I would probably recommend is to get the book. Like Kevin said, you probably don't knew the new copy, the new version of it. I saw the new version. We had it at the in the office at the science department, and I kind of skipped through it really quickly, and I didn't look hard enough to see what the major differences were. There are some, but like Kevin said, if you have the old version, it's probably good enough. But what I would do is I would sit down, order it, you know, look at it, look at some of the practice exams, and then decide for yourself, okay, do I need a week to study for this? Do I need a month? Or do I need longer? And then from there, register for the exam and then start your studying that way.
I think that is going to do it. So best of luck, Tracy. Hope you do well, and let us know how the exam goes. And remember to make sure you paid all your parking tickets at college so you actually graduated before you take the exam, so you can actually get the results while you're there. like I did. It's a big deal. It's the things you got to keep a lookout for. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. I think we did a pretty solid job getting through the mailbag. If you do have a question for the mailbag, you can send it to questions@thefitcast.com. You can also go to thefitcast.com, and there's a Contact Us tab on the top of the page. You can send them in that way as well. Please, if you can, include at least the first name and where you're from, just to give us an idea of who you are, and just to make sure if you are going to ask us a question, we can, you know, give you a personal response. I think it's much more effective that way. And also let us know what you think about the transformation contest idea. Let us know what you think about that in the show notes, and we'll finalize any kind of decisions on that next week. John, words of wisdom.
Pink dumbbell award.
Oh, hold on. Well, I'll have to edit the music in. Yes, pink dumbbell.
Yeah, I think that you know, I'm torn. I'm going between the guy that's helping his father with because there were a few good ones. The guy's trying to help his father, so that's always something to encourage. The ART, because that was some cool stuff. And then just the biceps curls, because they're a new listener.
Opposite end of the spectrum, yeah.
Yeah, they're a new listener, but they're doing... Actually, you know what? In all fairness, they said bicep workout, straight bar curls. And if they're just doing some bicep curls at the end of the workout, that's fine. If they have like an entire day devoted to like biceps, triceps, and lats, then that's probably lame. But...
John.
Hmm.
No.
Did you get the Anconius in there? In your triceps, biceps, and lat day?
John, you know, the thing that I wanted to make sure that I included,
yeah,
is that you suck.
So is minor. Did you have some so is minor in the
no,
your
No, but
abs
actually
day?
I was very disappointed that I did not hit. I'm having trouble hitting my fuck you muscle because I've been working on it.
Hmm.
And I've been working on the...
Are you working
having...
at the failure?
The fail muscle? Because that you've been hitting all day.
Oh.
Next week on the show, it's going to be Lee and I talking about some mailbag questions, and maybe Tony and Cass.
Possibly. Actually, that may actually be true because I have my friend's wedding next week. I'm one of the groomsmen.
Good for always you, John.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Yeah. No. You need to get your pedicure before you go? Manicure?
Manny and pedi.
That's how we end the shows, folks. Check us out. First off, you can check out John at acceleratedstrength.com. Mine as well. Don't look at his blog because he never writes shit.
Mine as well.
AvidityFitness.net. And then FLC.
If you
want to
take the boards for me, you go right ahead, and then I'll start blogging up 2-3 times a week. No problem.
I'll pass, man. I got some clients booked for the week, so I can't do that.
Damn it.
Sorry, can't. And like I said, Lee is also at flzine.com. Check that out for your daily articles. Doing a great job with that. And, you know, it's a much welcome change to, you know, the writing we're used to seeing on the internet.
Oh, wow. Are you going to get it for that?
That wasn't a shot at you. What the hell? That wasn't even a shot. I was serious. I was... Really? That...
Dead air, Kevin.
Awkward silence, I know, man. Whatever.
Good. God, Lee, you hurt his feelings.
No, I'm kind of confused. I'm wondering what... part of the tone
well, you
of my
said
voice.
It's a different. No, you said it's a different kind of writing, and then, you know, we all know that Lee.
Okay,
John.
You know,
John.
has moments where the keyboard may not be cooperative with her particular brand of communication.
Oh, I didn't even mean, I wasn't even implying that. I was kind of just saying like it was kind of like a no bullshit kind of style of just getting stuff out there, and you know, it's, you know, there's rants and stuff, so I'm saying we're not just kind of talking about hypertrophy every other week. That was the point I was trying to get across, but whatever. I did my best. Check out thefitcast.com, subscribe through iTunes, submit a review so we can beat ABC Nutrition again. That was pretty cool. And hopefully we're still number one in Australia. That's what I'll go to bed thinking tonight. Take care and have a great week, everyone.
Good night, Australia.
Welcome to the off-topic discussion this week. I am joined by Lee Peel and Jonathan Fass, and we'll start with two pieces of listener mail, since I decided that we will, things that are off-topic from the listeners, we will not talk about during the show since they are off-topic, so they deserve to be in the off-topic section. The first email comes from Jason. I'm a huge fan of Battlestar Galactica. While the finale was awesome, I wasn't a huge fan of the quote, let's inbreed with the humans on this planet. You guys, your guys' thoughts on this could make for some good discussion. Very emotional finale, regardless. And what, what the heck was with Starbuck, Jason? And John, you watched this.
Yeah.
And you know,
Starbuck was an angel.
And by the way, do you think Lee kind of looks like Starbuck?
Interesting.
Think about it.
Interesting.
Now I have to Google. Yeah.
There's some,
not that,
I could see
not,
that.
There's, but make sure, like, you get the 2000 version of Starbuck, because they changed Starbuck from a guy to a girl.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise Starbuck would probably not look like you. Like.
Yeah, that'd be an insult, and I would do that.
I can't see that, actually.
See?
There's a little,
like,
bit
same
there.
Same kind of hair.
Yeah.
I totally have that tank top.
Both white females.
Yep.
Both white females. As opposed to a Latino.
So Starbuck was an angel. She died and she was brought back. They had all
spoilers.
Those religious, yeah, all those religious overtones, and that's what that was. I actually thought that was a fantastic send off.
I have mixed feelings with it, because the first hour was awesome. Space battles were awesome, and then I don't know. Once they got to the planet, I wasn't as happy, because it got really boring, and I knew they had to tie up a lot of loose ends, but it seems like they, it seems, you know, like they were trying to make a lot of things make sense, and they had a hard time doing it, so they kind of made some BS wrap-ups.
Well, I actually liked it almost in reverse. I felt that the final battle felt a little bit rushed to me, but then the part on Earth felt more like a coming together, and everything made sense to me. It you know what it was? Like, I thought it was a very good episode. I didn't think it ranked in the top episodes that they've ever had, but that, to me, is more of a comment on just how good that series really is, where an episode like that was just really was probably like one of the better pieces of television I've seen, didn't even ranked to me in the top episodes of that series. I mean, the series was just fantastic.
Well, the problem that I had was that the main Cylons, played by Al from Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
He became kind of a little bitch at the end, and kind of, after being a complete hard ass and a ruthless killer, was like, all right, I'll give me a regeneration, I'll leave. Peace out. And that was
I thought that was an important part, but right, I agree. Like, it was done a little quickly, because it didn't. I felt that the point of it was that regenerate. He was scared of dying, is what it was, and that you saw that run through that character.
Yeah.
You know, and so the promise of getting it back was, because if you saw, think about it. Like, although he was getting edgy and whatever, really, when they destroyed that ability for them, that's when he kind of became really cold and really, you know, nasty. So I kind of felt like that was a very important scene in that it was something that made sense, but I felt it was almost underplayed. They didn't build it up enough for that character so that it made more sense that he would say, you know what? Oh, okay, no, that'll do.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah, we're going to wrap this up, but just final thoughts. Who is the hottest of the female Cylons? I'm going to have to go with Boomer.
Whew,
Boomer, yeah. Boomer takes the cake, or Xena Warrior Princess.
No, not Xena Warrior Princess.
She
still
looks pretty good.
No, it's between Boomer and Six, but
Six,
you know what?
Just doesn't do it for me.
You know what? See, the thing is, I'm not typically like I tend to like brunettes. I tend to like darker, you know, whatever. So when I have,
yeah, I'm surprised you didn't pick Boomer.
Right. Well, no, and I probably would still pick Boomer, except she's really, really, really thin. That's the only thing that hurts it for me.
You can get her in the gym.
But yeah, it's true. But
get do some pull-ups.
But I think she's beautiful. But when I have like when I see like a blonde, like a tall white blonde female, that's pretty much the least of my, you know, of what I'm attracted to, and I find her attractive, that's like you get an extra point for that.
All right, and final favorite, we'll wrap this up. People are probably
they turned off. This up.
But you know what? Actually, people started kind of freaking out when I was saying on Twitter and on Facebook that we weren't going to be able to do an episode last week, or at the very least it was going to be delayed, and people were like, make sure no matter what you do, make an off-topic section. Like, I'm surprised people listen to this stuff.
Yeah.
Lee, what's up?
I'm researching Battlestar Galactica.
Lee, it's worth it. The last 10 episodes kind of suck.
Oh, nonsense.
No, the last 10 episodes are pretty bad.
Are you insane?
No. Actually, I kind of cried because the ship was falling apart. That was pretty emotional because that ship was practically a character.
And right there.
And
you're a girl.
Yeah, you know what, John?
Last 10 episodes suck, but you cried at the ship. You know
what? Dude, that ship, when they started sending all the ships to the sun to be burnt up,
that was cool.
That was pretty emotional. I'm like, wow, it's really ending. But then the best part is at the end of that episode, they showed a little sneak preview of Stargate Universe.
Mm.
Hell yeah. And they just confirmed that Richard Dean Anderson is going to be doing a couple episodes of Universe. So Jack O'Neill is back. Which
just
is good.
Like that. He lost me. See, just like that. I was in the conversation with him now.
All right, what else is going on? We have another off-topic thing. I have a question for the off-topic section. Do you guys listen to any other podcasts besides fitness stuff? Like, Tony, do you listen to movie podcasts, NPR, anyone? Well, Tony's not here, but I don't know if he listens. He probably listens to, like, Access Hollywood podcast or something. He reads Entertainment Weekly. I don't know if they have a podcast, but Lee, do you listen to any podcast, other fitness or non?
I listen to I don't listen to them like all the time. It's kind of like when I need something, but I do. I like Ask a Ninja.
Dude, Ask a Ninja is really good.
I like Ask a Ninja, and I also whenever they're doing the trials for Ninja Warrior on G4. And they're going through all that. I'm like absolutely obsessed with all the submissions.
Wow.
I've watched every single one of them. So, and then sometimes I listen to random stuff like I listened to Grammar Girl for a bit of a while, and I don't want to hear one fucking joke about it.
I don't know what that is.
Grammar Girl. Get out of here.
You know what? I was trying to learn. Okay, this is what people do when they're self-educating. I didn't like it.
How to talk good.
You know what, Lee? I've seen the things that you write. I don't know if that podcast helped.
Hey, you know, you can always make revisions, John.
You know what? You did that right. You went there. That's okay. That's okay because I have massively improved.
Yeah, but at least she writes, John.
We did the interview for the site, and it posts up, and I took a look at it. I'm like, oh, it looks pretty cool. And then I sent her an email. I'm like, by the way, Accelerated has two C's. She put the link to the
WordPress
website.
Spell checker does not catch everything. I learned that the hard way as well.
That was...
It's Jack hard. John, do you listen to...
He wrote me an email. No, he wrote me an email. What did you say? Shit.
I don't know.
He said something. He wrote me some sort of email, and then I made some sort of comment about my grammatical skills, and he said it wasn't my strong suit. And I banned him from that point on. I don't even read his emails. I have my assistant Cyborg read my emails, and it funnels me the information because I don't actually talk to Jonathan Fass.
Good. They're flagged. They're flagged.
They're flagged.
Yeah, you gotta put emoticons in there for him to even give a shit anyways.
It's true.
John, for someone that's such a stickler for grammar, use smiley faces like it's a fucking period.
A picture speaks 1,000 words, and an emoticon, 10,000 words.
You know, I have to say, since I've increased my emoticon usage, people have been a lot less angry with me.
See?
You know what? You need more animated GIFs in your formally. Animated GIFs are huge, especially of cool stuff, like stuff from Kill Bill or other, you know, random shit like facial expressions. They
so
go
you're
a
saying
long way.
That what's lacking in my forum is psychotic smiley faces with ninja swords?
Something like that, or just violence.
Okay. I think right now I'm going to get that one that bangs its head against the wall and has the cuss words coming out.
Have you seen the one where it's an animated dude where he's like arguing on a forum and his hands start, you know, falling apart because he's typing so hard that he starts banging his head on the keyboard till his face just till he kills himself. I'll have to find that.
And so people requested this? People requested this off topic? They're like, yo, please more of this? Oh, God.
No, it's... Oh, God. It's because I do spend, like... Oh, I found it. Nice.
What do you have, like, bookmarked?
No, it's called Google, yo. Here, I'll send it. Oh. I'll post it in the show notes. You have to watch this. This is for people that argue on forums. It's hilarious.
I think I've seen this.
Oh, yeah.
I
love this guy.
I just watched it again.
He looks totally like a Sam Brown character.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yep.
Oh, my God.
I love when he sticks his tongue out. I felt that way.
That was good. Oh, dead air doesn't work good. I was watching it again. It's crazy because you can watch it again because it starts all over and you're like, oh, I want to see what it looks like again.
Yeah, I've definitely felt that way in the past.
Totally. Let's see. I don't know. Do we have anything else we want to talk about? John, do you listen to any podcasts?
Nah. I mean, I listen to some fitness stuff, but nothing really non-fitnessy. I actually listen to like AM radio or something. If I'm looking
Yoga
for
Weekly?
Stuff like politics and history. No, you know, Yoga Weekly, I'm a master. I know all the moves. They can teach me nothing.
One of my coworkers is trying to get me to go to her Sunday morning yoga class. And I'm like, no.
And you said
you should
no.
go. You should go.
Are you... You're a young, single man, and you're saying that
well,
you're going with your friends to yoga class?
No, well, I said how's the, you know, selection of clientele?
Oh, okay. So you did ask?
Yeah, I asked, and she's like, oh, it's usually pretty good, and, you know, then we actually got it to talking about it.
You're glossing over some stuff.
No.
You just got red in the face.
No.
He's trying to pause it.
No, it's because the story she told me. She's taught yoga for a while, and in one of the classes she was doing like this I forget what move it was. She was doing this move and one of the people in the class, just a woman, just tears one, and then the woman behind her like screams out like out of surprise. And then the Jen, the woman that I was talking about who's teaching the class, then like she's like, oh, then I took like a huge gasp, like she was just like like, oh my god, like what was that? And I was like, oh, wait, so you just, like, inhaled the whole fart? And then she's like, no, because I was teaching the class. And then I felt like an idiot.
Oh, Jesus.
It died a little at the end there.
Yep.
There's something was reminiscent of, like, the Vlasic pickle commercials. But nobody's seen that where they bite it. It's not okay.
Sold before my time. Oh, but you know, last thing I did do, I watched. Have you guys seen The Wizard?
Fred As Savage. In Fred Savage.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay, hold on. So last, I guess it was on Monday or maybe it was Sunday night. I was watching. I got The Wizard on Amazon. It was like $8 on DVD. I'm like, holy shit, I love this movie. I saw it. Me and my brother like. Begged my mom to go see this when we were kids, and the whole reason we wanted to see it is because there was a sneak preview of Super Mario Brothers 3 in the movie. It was like a whole 6 months before the game came out, they were actually playing this game. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch again. So I pop it in. We got Fred. All-star cast, believe it or not. It's Fred Savage, Bo Bridges, Christian Slater, and I think that's about it.
Do not neglect Jenny Lewis.
Is Jenny Lewis popular?
Well, I mean, she's not really, but she's rather killy, and she's you know, kind of, I like her music.
Oh, she's a singer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, she was in, like, some indie films and stuff younger, but, like, she's a singer, and I'm a big Jenny Lewis fan.
Yeah, she was pretty good. So I was watching it, and I'm like, this movie still holds up, and it still made me like super excited. Like, it just brought me back to when I was a kid. I'm like, oh my god, like watching Lucas pull out the power glove.
Yeah,
and be like,
just about to say, when he pulls out that power glove, it's almost like this gleaming, like shining light of like, oh,
well, let me,
so badass.
A quick side story. I listened to a lot of gaming stuff, and there was actually there was a whole like setup behind that, because Mattel, the makers of the Power Glove for Nintendo, actually, you know, directed that whole segment to make it very much like a commercial built inside of the movie. The director of the movie did not even do those 5 minutes. It was all set up by Mattel, and they basically told the director how to shoot this, how to make this look, and to make sure you know, it came across as something every kid, once they left the movie theater, they're like, I need this right now. I need to, you know, go up to my friends and open up this little box and say, it's a power glove, it's so bad, and just be a badass playing Rad Racer. And It was just amazing. Like, it just brought back that excitement that I had as a kid, and it's very hard to find those movies that still do that. That really bring back that magic, and that was like a movie that was more or less an infomercial for a video game, and it's still, you know, it's still awesome, and they still have reunion parties for this every single year. It's quite amazing. Actually, Lee, if you want the correct Konami code.
Yeah,
it's
it is
up,
wrong,
up,
actually.
Down, down, left,
down,
right,
left, right,
left, right,
right,
BA, select,
A, B,
start.
Yeah.
So in the text, you know, if we're going to pull this out, because actually there is an announcement that I made in the podcast that people already heard about, but they'll be hearing about that in a second. So I think we're done with off topic. That's about 18 minutes. All right, you guys happy? Mostly video games, but...
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, John.
I'm sorry, too.